Hey, nobody in particular. And I must say, I've been admiring the structure of the universe. Specifically, the point at which a guidepost changes to an artifact. And that's interesting, huh? Anyway, the universe is a wonderful place. I'm nobody in particular. You knew that. You knew that when you started listening. Nobody in particular. It's a Saturday afternoon. I'm mentally getting geared up to go play soccer tomorrow. I'm certainly glad for soccer. The week that I've been through was emotionally overwrought at times. Not your fault. Not my fault. But emotions do come in on occasion, particularly when you're... Well, when you think things might have troubles, and my beloved wasn't feeling very good, so that lays heavily on me because I am her provider. Hey, Tom. Tomcat came by to say hi, and since you're here, do I have any food? So I'm nobody in particular. You own a cat or a dog. They say, hey, you give them food. You have a beloved who is not feeling well, and that affects your life too. So the footsteps I've been really seeing are physical footsteps. You'll see the picture. They're on the posting for this podcast. And by the way, I'm nobody in particular. I live in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a sunny day in March, right at the end of March. I say there's to the six people who listen to me regularly, hi, how you doing? I'm okay. I struggled this week. It was pretty emotional at times because Stevie wasn't doing very well. But here's this thing, this question, that the universe, sometimes you've got a guidepost, you've looked for it, you found it, you made your way to it, you walked past it, and it's no longer a guidepost, it's an artifact. I mean, it does its job for the next person coming along if it's explained to them what it is. But at the point that your circumstances change, that guidepost became an artifact, and who adjusts to that? I guess the question is, and I had these footsteps made out of vinyl, and they were purchased to put on the floor in order to assist Stevie to be as independent as possible, going on 3 years ago. Part of her process, she had to go to the bathroom a lot, and for about 3 or 4, maybe 6 months, the vinyl footsteps on the floor led her to the bathroom, and she was able to navigate that on her own. But there was a point where she no longer was able to navigate it. All those footsteps are still on the floor. They're an artifact from that time. Now, the footstep thing, I didn't want to believe that there would be a time when it didn't work. I also didn't want to believe when the darker times came and there were worries of abandonment. I didn't believe anybody would abandon us. And for a short time, there was no abandonment. There was a rallying, and it was good. But once you're stuck on the island, so to speak, you learn who has your back and who has time for you and who wants to remember things as they were and who will give you a moment of their time. I've found that there's a fair number of people who say that they will give you a moment of their time, and they never do. I have no problem with that, because I kind of like karma. There were people that I knew I just couldn't go see. Well, that's neither here nor there. I didn't see that as abandonment, but I had no understanding of what the situation was. No, I didn't leave them. But there's also, even having been abandoned, there's the abundance of a will to live that I didn't comprehend. I sort of thought the situation was going to happen rapidly. I worried a year ago that the flowers wouldn't be on the lady banks. They'd be still blooming and she'd pass. But she was still here because she has an abundance of a will to live that I didn't comprehend. I couldn't see through the fear. I couldn't see through the process, through the what was going on, the changes. But on the island, conditions are intimate, and she listens and heard me when I said, eat to stay alive. Her desire to be loved turned out to be iron strong. I am amazed. I am in awe. I'm in love. The footsteps she can't use haven't limited her from being herself. Her soul's communicating. She's romantic and thoughtful. And for me, there are times when there is weeping and grieving, when my soul is crushed and compacted, pounded, rolled, but I do not want to be free of this burden. I want more days. I want more kisses. I want more smiles. I want more touches. I want more, but I can't ask. The universe has a timetable I don't have. I'm enjoying one day at a time. Wanting more. Well, I couldn't want more from Stevie. And I certainly can't demand more from myself because I'm right there. I can't estimate how much, how long. Can't schedule. Because there is a knowing that there are going to be more footsteps. Now, I've been a smartass most of my life. I'm pretty taken with myself and how quick I am and how smart I am. And, generally, I don't know why everybody doesn't know as much as me. And I realize that's a glib attitude, and it carries over from my younger years, and it hasn't faded so much as been moderated over time. Experience and age are two factors you can't undo. You did your did, you got old, you did your birthdays. So it's inevitable to me that I'm going to remember the stuff. I'm going to remember the bad choices. Sometimes they gang up on me because bad choices seem to be the only choices I made. I didn't know very darn much when I was young, but I thought I knew pretty much everything. And then because of bad choices, you know what comes from that. A failure or two. But then there's good choices and also failure. And then there's complications and hard work. And then losing one mate didn't tamp down my smartassiness so much as the process of losing another. And to be honest, there's this full recognition, or my view of my failings as a child, as an adult, as growing older, my frailties, my keeping stuff hidden-ish, and then that honesty and truth and openness and the recognition of what I was in the past has given me a framework so that I can further explore being better, doing good. In my opinion, it changed platforms. Changes. And there's more changes. And I'm a child of these United States, and I'm watching the country stand up to an immense change, to a threat, to like a ticking ass time bomb that is nothing, okay? It's a fart in a bottle if you treat it like a fart in the bottle. But if you treat it like that fart is the fart from God, then, that's so not American. I grew up in the household of a World War II veteran. My dad frickin' fought the damn war.
If I was going to say, what would my dad do? I'll tell you what he'd be ranting and raving about. The current state of affairs in a political party that's so metastasized, it's only 18 to 25% of the voting population, but they're the views and the affiliations and the threat of right-wing oppression and dictatorship or aristocratic nonsense in our government would have him foaming at the mouth. I mean, it seemed when I was growing up that there were all kinds of voices. Every side found solutions. At times they were pretty darn good solutions because they were listening to the people. Now, one group is not listening, they're just telling. And solutions are less popular in actuality than they are as talking points while you leave the problem untreated and, you know, sort of obstruct so that you've got a continuation of your talking point. And sometimes, as now, there's, what do they call them? The jurists. Well, I don't know. Unelected radical jurists united to undermine the will of the people, which is what happened with what Roe v. Wade. What would happen to your ability to get certain sexual services? And it occurs to me that's driven by grievance politics. And that's driven by grievance religion.
Well, you know, this is bad. And the ruling class, they take this thing and they do it and
you know, mealy mouth your way around what's a basic requirement for citizenship, and it's certainly not grievance politics. And in our country, you don't have to have a religion, so you don't have to have any frickin' grievances there. In fact, grievance politics and grievance religion are a shame. They're a shame to the people who are doing it. Because, you know, y'all, there's gonna be frickin' footsteps. There's going to be times when those guideposts are moot. And you better have a new guidepost. You need to refresh your stuff, because if you're standing at the guidepost, looking at the guidepost, you're lost. You haven't progressed. You haven't gotten anywhere. Well, now you get more artifacts, more footsteps. And I'm going to tell you, you can measure life by what you've lost, by what you've gone past, by what you've gone through, by what you no longer have. You can measure your life by your response. Now, I'm nobody in particular, and I'm just one guy. Sometimes ornery, sometimes forgetful. Trying to keep it all together, keep my wife alive and well for as long as possible. Well, I also want to keep my country alive and well as long as possible, too. And I'm not going to vote for a festering pus ball. I am in the majority. I was in a group of more than 81 million who voted last time around for a president that's still there. And that crook that he ran against, that red-haired footstep, is no longer a political force now, because he was a guidepost. Now he's an artifact. While the Constitution is still a guidepost, while some want to turn it into an artifact, I don't go with that. I don't think we've arrived. But we're working on it. We're a constitutional republic. And I think a whole lot of people who want to just keep their heads down and say, I want to continue the republic, and we can reform this idea of conservatism in a post-Trump era. Now, right now, you need to get into a post-Trump era. Don't let this country fester. Check yourself. If you love your country, give it a break. You've got to vote a few extra times. And you know, voting for this guy, he's going to lose. Because there's a whole lot of people who are tired of the shenanigans. And we only have two or three more votes going. But right now, I'm 75 and my vote counts. One of these days, that'll be an artifact. But now, it's still a guidepost. So I'm nobody in particular. And thanks to Cerveza Modelo y Negra from Mexico. Cerveza. Bueno, bueno. Glad to be alive. Glad to be nobody in particular, because there's only six of you listening to me. I'm not really too worried about it. I'm glad you're alive. Glad your ears work. And who the heck are you in Brussels? I love it. It could be a machine, but every time I post, Brussels listens. So thank you very much. Nobody in particular. Over and out.